Good evening and welcome to Monday night segment of the Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Syracusa, and Philip Syracusa. We are broadcasting live from the United Paranormal Radio Network on 105.3 FM from New Orleans. This evening's show is sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for our sponsorship. And we have to do a few things in order to participate. Go over to the YouTube channel, UFO Paranormal Radio, and get into chat. Subscribe if you haven't. You can go into all of the United Public Radio Facebook stations, Twitch, SoundCloud, Podbean. You could also go into the UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo on Facebook as well. I can only respond to your comments on our YouTube channel on UFO Paranormal Radio. And if you have any questions for our guests, please ask. So tonight, guys, we have a really special, special guest, and we've been looking forward to speaking to him for a while. So please let's welcome Connor Vail to the show. Connor is an American documentary filmmaker who's been making films since 2010 based on the paranormal. In 2012, he set out to film a documentary which he is known for called Paranormal Encounters, A Haunting at Farrah Elementary, which led him to film the series called Paranormal Encounters, in which he is the executive producer and co-host alongside with his fiance, India Hopwood. He's also an author of his new book, Life with Paranormal Encounters, True Ghost Stories, and How an Award-Winning Show Was Created. You can find his book on Amazon.com and also catch his show on Amazon Prime Video. So please let's welcome Connor to the show.
Welcome.
Yay.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, we were looking forward to you. We had that hiccup down the road. You know, it's interesting because one night, you know, my wife and I, we like to watch movies, and then we just said, let's just try something different.
Yeah.
And then we're on Prime.
Yes.
And then we're going through hauntings and documentaries and all that good stuff. And we came across your show, and I got to be honest with you, I couldn't pause it. I had to keep watching it.
Yeah.
And the reason I was gravitated to the show, I found it different, unique, and interesting all at the same time, the way you were going about it. And I was like, wow. And then when that show ended, I was like to my wife, well, you know what? We have to watch another one. And then what do? We watch another one. So you did a great job. I mean, I got to give you a lot of credit, hands down.
Thank you.
The filming and the locations, that must take a lot of work.
Oh, it takes so much work. And I couldn't have done it without India either. You know, she helped me start back up the show in 2019. And, you know, like we've done a lot of episodes and it takes so much work. You know, like we spend hours every night trying to get, you know, like some kind of evidence. And some episodes we put out, we don't have any evidence. You know, it's just how it is with the paranormal. Yeah. So
I really like what you did and you're doing, and you have something good there. And I mean that, you know, I've been in the paranormal for a while, and for me to like want to watch a separate episode
it's
and a
true.
Third, I'm like, wait a second, this guy's got something here. Him and that's your girlfriend?
She's my fiance, India.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So India, right?
Yeah.
India, you're doing a great job too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and she was interested too because she was actually
she's very good.
Is she a psychic?
Yeah. She doesn't claim herself to be one, but people say in our episodes we've done, especially St. Alvin's episode that we filmed at, they say that she's more of a sensitive, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, because you can see on the show she has abilities. So what we like to do is for our guests and our listeners out there, can you take us to the beginning of your journey, how you got started, and all that good stuff, and pretty much I like to start like anything in adolescence years when you were growing up, encounters with the unknown.
Yeah, so the earliest experience I can remember is when I lived in a house in Goshen, Indiana. It's this old white Victorian house, and the house I lived in, the street was actually named after the guy who built and lived in the home. And my first experience came to me one night when I was about 8 years old. I shared this bedroom with my brother on the second floor. And my bed was positioned on this wall and his bed was positioned against the opposite wall. And my bed frame was against a wall with a closet door that connected my room to my parents' room. And we never used that room. It was mostly used for like storing like blankets or just her craft stuff. My mom used to do crafts. And one night I was trying to fall asleep. My brother is already well past asleep. And I'm staring across the room, and suddenly out of nowhere, there's no sound. This white anomaly comes from above my head, and it goes underneath and down underneath my brother's bed and disappears. No sound, no nothing. It freaked me out so bad, I got up and I ran down the stairs. And sorry, I thought my dog was coming in here. Down the stairs, told my mom, and my grandma always joked with me and told me that it was just angels playing. But then, ever since that experience, so I could never explain it because I was just so young. I didn't know it was ghosts or nothing like that. You know, I didn't know it was something paranormal, but I kept having experiences in the house. I could hear noises in the house. We found a weird basement room that was sealed off that we never knew about until my brother and I looked underneath the porch. It was just a really creepy house, you know. And then, you know, I always had a love for the paranormal because my family was big on Halloween when I was growing up as a kid. And my mom would make these crafts, and I just loved Halloween. You know, I was attracted to it. And then growing up and then in high school, I hadn't had any paranormal experiences since I was a kid. And in high school, my friends, and I still loved horror stuff and stuff like that. My friends that I made in high school, I moved to this town called Bourbon, Indiana. It was my end of my junior year, beginning of my senior year. We all wanted to take a road trip down to Louisville, Kentucky. It was about a 4-hour drive. A couple of my friends and I went down there, and we were just thrill seekers, really, you know, like we lived in a small town where a lot of abandoned homes were, and we'd go there and just explore kind of thing. We thought Waverly Hills was the next cool thing to go to. So we decided to take a tour there, a night tour. And when I was taking a night tour there, I actually spoke to a ghost in the Shadow Man hallway and walked with this guy down this hallway. I captured pictures of like a dog. There was an experience, I guess this homeless guy and his dog before the Waverly Hills property was owned by somebody, I guess, would run around in this property, and I guess maybe he perished there is what we were told. And I actually saw a dog in a picture in this waiting room underneath this piano, and I captured some EVPs I couldn't explain. And it just sparked my interest to go to film a documentary a few years later. And I filmed a documentary at the Ferraro Elementary Schoolhouse. It just kind of took off. And I felt like I had a reason to be in the paranormal field because every place I went to, I just had experiences. And they were just so frequent that it just felt so unreal, you know, because they would happen all the time. And I felt like I needed to document everything I was experiencing, which created the show Paranormal Encounters.
That's interesting. So it starts at a young age, which I got to be honest with you, most of our guests, including myself and you, mm-hmm. you as well, that
yeah.
You know, you see an apparition, whether it's an orb or a light anomaly or something,
yeah.
And then it transpires into something else. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that happens for a reason, you know, like you're like a lighthouse. They know, hey, you may be able to see us, and sure enough, you did.
Yeah.
And now filming, and you get into it, and that leads me to the question of, you know, we've seen you with John Cushman,
mm-hmm.
and the Octagon, I believe that was.
Yeah, it was the Octagon Mansion. Yeah.
Now I've heard a lot of things about this mansion. Talk mm-hmm. about it.
The Octagon Mansion, I've known John since the very beginning when I was filming the old show. I met him at the Glen Tavern, and he had moved across the country because we used to live in Las Vegas. He moved across the country to Virginia, and I moved over to South Carolina. And I found out that he was able to take like ownership and manage his building called the Octagon Mansion of 585, he called it. And he invited me to go down there to go film because no one's been down there to film yet. And he had some experiences, I guess, with this doll and with the homeowners. And so I was interested. I talked India into it. And that was our first episode of Paranormal Encounters to bring back the show in 2019. We went there at the end of July, and we had absolutely insane experiences there. Like, we thought the entire time somebody was squatting inside the Octagon Mansion because we had a rock get thrown at us.
Yeah.
And not even 15 to 20 minutes later, we had a bolt get thrown down the stairs. And it was really weird because it was just one of those instances where you think somebody around you has to be faking stuff, especially when it's your first film you're doing again for the show. Because originally, I don't think we were really planning to do it as a show. We were just doing it as just a film, you know, a documentary kind of thing. And the experiences there were just crazy. I guess, like, there's so many different stories I've been hearing about the Octagon Mansion, like the history behind it. But I know this from, like, the 1800s, and I guess a polio outbreak happened in Wytheville, Virginia, where this place is located at. And they say that people died there that had polio and stuff. There's just so many things I haven't really talked recently with John about for the history.
So I know one part of that show, you ran upstairs and you really were convinced. I think you said someone's going to call the cops.
Yeah, that's when I thought, people thought, like, when they're watching it, they're thinking I'm talking to an actual ghost or something like that. But the reality is, the entire time we thought somebody was in this building, because when I was filming the hallway, I heard a creak on the staircase and the stairs. It was, and I can't see the stairs because it's on the other side, so I could just see the back end of it creak. And I thought somebody was coming down the stairs because that rock just got thrown. It's so dark in there. We're using night vision cameras, so of course you can see it, but we can't see when we're looking up with our naked eye. So I thought somebody was in there, because I've heard stories where people go paranormal investigating and they get attacked by some homeless guy or somebody that's doing something they shouldn't be doing in the building.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, so that's what my first thought was. I was fight or flight mode going on at that moment.
Okay, so what was it at that mansion? What was it? Was it a girl? Was it a boy? Was it a demon? What was it?
Honestly, I think it was just a curious spirit. I can't say for sure it was a little girl. We did have communication on the REM pod that India was asking questions, and we were able to narrow it down to being a girl. John had experiences with a girl there with the first time using a REM pod with the homeowners, previous homeowners, I mean. So honestly, I still don't really know. There's so many voices and experiences I had there that point to multiple entities. I don't think it's demons or anything like that. I think it was just the building sat empty for a while. It used to be a bakery and a restaurant and a bunch of other businesses, I mean. So it could have sat vacant for a while that, you know, it just wanted to have some attention, I guess, towards it. It was there the whole time.
And if he's left there, did anything go home with anybody? Like any attachments?
To be honest with you, I think we had something happen to us after we left there. I can't recall because it's been a long time since that episode. But I know that when we filmed some places, we've had some stuff follow us home for sure, especially mess with India when she's taking a shower. We've seen stuff. Like, I can't say it's the Octagon Mansion episode that this happened at. I know something happened not long after that, but India was taking a shower one day and the mirrors fogged up and there was a smiley face on the mirror. And she asked me if I put the smiley face in the mirror, but why would I put a smiley face on the mirror? So it's just some really creepy experiences we've had before with things we've brought home.
That's scary.
Yeah.
What would you do if that happened to you?
I don't know. That is pretty creepy.
Yeah, we've even had knives cross, like if you can even see it, like this, on top where the blades stick up. We've had that twice happen, where they just randomly on the counter, and then they're crossed with the blades facing up. We've had really weird stuff happen from filming.
Wow. What makes you question, so if any, you know, if you have things that follow you home, what do you guys do to protect yourselves and to maybe, you know, get rid of whatever it is?
See, we sage the house sometimes when we feel like negative, I guess, you know, but like I personally don't really do any protection rituals, honestly. I feel it's, you know, like everyone has their own opinions on how they protect themselves and stuff like that. But I think it's all to deal with my mindset, I guess, really my thought, you know, like if I think positive, nothing negative is going to really happen. You know, if I bring something home, because I mean, I invite it because I want to understand it more. I want things to happen at the house. You know, like we've moved into this new apartment. We already saw something the day two that we were here. India saw something in the when she was in the bathroom, cleaning the bathroom or sorting the bathroom, putting her stuff away from moving in from boxes. She saw something move out in the hall over here. Out here is our kitchen. She saw something moving in the kitchen. I'm sitting right here where we're at. I was playing a game. She thought I did that, and I didn't. I also saw something over this way last week or so. We have had some stuff happen here, but it's just sometimes just becomes normal, I guess, whenever we do have that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's talk about India. What is our role and all that stuff so that the listener can get a grasp on this?
Yeah, she shares equal half of the show with me. She's a co-host of the show, co-owner of the show and stuff. Without her, I couldn't have done the show like we've done now. She's an important part of the show. She introduced the portal to the show, which became a favorite device for people that watch her show. You might have seen it in the Octagon Mansion episode. She's just the other half. You know, she's the one
inside. She's making a communication link between the spirit world as you're recording.
Yeah, because she used to work with children. So, like, if she connects more with children, I think, you know, like from what I've seen her do, like when we've gone to places, she's more sensitive to that type of stuff. And she used to help elderly folks. So, I think she's more adaptable to understanding that. And that's why she has more communication. You know, like that's why she mostly talks sometimes when she does the portal, because she has more of a connection to that, I think.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So, what piece of equipment do you like the best for the most validating evidence?
See, the thing that we're notorious for not getting is EVPs. I think EVPs would be the most definitive, because if you know exactly what your surrounding is, what's going on around you, and you have a voice going on in there, that's just something that absolutely can't be explained, because it's not something that's normal. You know, like I like using the portal on our show. That's something that I would say, if you see our show, that's what we use, is because I know how it's working and I know what my situation is, my surroundings. So I know that what I'm hearing is evidence to me. And everybody who's watching may not agree with that, you know, when they're watching the show or whatever, because they're not experiencing and knowing the moments that lead up to what I hear. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And to you or India, you know, when you leave an investigation, you go home, go to sleep, wherever you are in your sleep, do any of these spirits from the other side come into your dreams?
I've had nightmares. Honestly, the last episode that we just filmed was our season finale. It was at the Malvern Manor. And I had straight nightmares for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks straight, I couldn't get rid of them. I don't know I can't remember exactly what they were about, but I've had that stuff happen, you know, before. So, I mean, I've had them before when I went to the Sally House, too. So I went to the Sally House, and then after that, I straight had nightmares for like a month. It wouldn't stop every night.
Would you say nightmares?
I can't recall if they were the same nightmares. I just know the feeling when I woke up from some of them, I couldn't remember. It's just like I don't know how to explain that kind of feeling. It's just a horrible feeling.
Yeah. And I was gonna ask you what was the most intriguing haunted location that stuck in your memory bank, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
I always say this, so does India. It's the family's home that we investigated in South Carolina. We investigated a family's home that it was our second episode her and I ever did. And this family said they were having experiences. The thing that comes to my mind is it could be something natural. These people may want attention, you know, like no one, I mean, it's not like they're using us to get viewers where we don't have a kind of an audience. So I'm just thinking to myself, maybe these people are just having something natural going on. And when we went there, it was just nonstop crazy. The first time we ever went there, having experiences happen, having stuff move in the kitchen. We left a camera running in there with no one home, and something was in the house. And that's one thing that I can't get out of my mind, is because our favorite thing to do a lot at every location after that place was to leave a camera running overnight with no one in the building, period. And then just watch it and listen to it and see what we capture. But it would be a family's home that we investigated called a haunted house.
Was that that's the one in the basement?
It doesn't have a basement, no.
There was an episode in the basement, I don't
know. There's a basement at the Randolph County Infirmary.
Okay.
That one was is a really creepy place. It's in Indiana.
Wow.
Yeah.
So as a documentary person, you know, you're filming, what's your thoughts? we go on after death?
I think so, but I think that there's something that we all are missing. You know what I mean? In my opinion, I think that there's more to it than just dying and being a ghost. You know what I mean? I feel like there's something else, you know, like there people have different beliefs in there's heaven, there's hell, there's purgatory, there's whatever, you know, or you just don't go anywhere. And I feel like there is something because there's some explanation to what I'm experiencing, my experiences I've had in the paranormal that's not normal. So like, what is it, even if it's not an afterlife, what is that kind of experience, you know? But I feel like there is something when we do go, because there is a lot of experiences I've had that point to that.
Did you have a question?
I want to know about the Sally House.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
All right.
Very intrigued with that location. I read the book years and years ago.
Was that Tony Pickard? Right?
Yes. How was that? How was that experience?
It was really strange. I will tell you this. I used to do this with a person I used to know, and we were filming at the Sally House, and it was literally in the winter time. It was the first week of January. No one was in this house. Had been in this house, we were told, for weeks. So we were the first person to do this for the new year. And I know the cleaning person was in there not long, like 3 or 4 days before we went in there. And the first thing we walked in, we were hearing music when we first opened the door. And it was Beyonce, Single Ladies. It was just so strange. The radio was playing. And the person that we were, that was caretaking the building at the time, told us it could have been the cleaning ladies or cleaning people that were cleaning the home. But they weren't there days before that. So we found that really weird. And before filming, it's two floors. So when you first walk in, you can actually look up the stairs and see the upstairs. Well, I saw the upstairs light turn on by itself two times when we were there. We weren't even filming or anything like that. By itself, none of the other two guys I was with were near the light switch. So I had that experience. We also witnessed the bathroom door. It's kind of like a red weird barn looking door thing that actually opened by itself. We caught that opening by itself. The toys in the kids room would light up and go off by themselves. It was a really weird experience. It wasn't as active, to be honest with you, as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't, it's not dark like I thought people were saying. It was just a very strange experience because lights and things just turn on by themselves. And that's really it that we caught there that I could really remember.
Well, it takes a lot of energy. I mean, to us, it may not seem like much, but think about like how much energy from the other side it would take. And we've seen that firsthand. And I got to tell you that gives me the chills when a toy goes off by itself, sometimes without the batteries.
Yeah. I love that.
And you try to rack your brain, and part of you wants to sleep at night, like, you know what, it's all fake, it's make-believe, there's no such thing, I'm crazy, it's in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then when reality kicks in, you got that one eye open, you're like, wait a second, I know what happened.
Oh, our favorite thing to use is the light-up cat balls. Have you guys seen those?
What's that called?
The light-up cat balls. These guys. Let me get one that's not dead.
Oh yeah, I've seen this before.
Where you set these still, and if they're motion activated, so you set these still, and if they go off, then it's possibly a spirit communication. We had that happen at a few places we went to. We had good luck. We had good luck with those cat balls. They're great tools.
I like those.
They're like a dollar. Cheapest paranormal investigating equipment you'll buy.
What toy did we use? What was the name of that old toy? Remember, like back in the day, that you press the lights. Oh my God!
Light bright.
I don't know. The listeners will know. I don't know if you're gonna know, but it's like a big toy, and it's like that. Like the lights will go off, and it's a really good piece. It's good with the.
I kind of think I know. Is it like a clock looking thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I don't know what it's called, but I know what you're talking about. Does it have like an arrow thing that goes around it or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I remember that. We used that a few times.
Yeah, I mean, if the spirit wants to communicate, it's going to let you know.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the light bulbs flickering, the door opening. Yeah. Now, when you've seen the light go on, you didn't see the switch go up or down. You just seen the light go on.
Honestly, I was too stunned. I don't recall because I never witnessed the light just flicker on like that. I've had all kinds of weird experiences, but they're spread out throughout the years. But I didn't recall hearing or even seeing the light switch turn on. I didn't even know where the light switch was at the time when I first walked in, because we hadn't even been upstairs yet. We just walked in, looked around the first floor and trying to figure out why the music was playing, see if anybody was in there. And then we went to the stairs, and as we looked up the stairs, the light went on. It was like, what?
Wow. That is, yeah, that's creepy.
It's creepy, like, but I like it. It's cool. You know, I love that stuff.
Do you feel anything when that happens through your body, like any kind of energy, static electricity?
I don't, to be honest with you. I know people report that they do, but I don't. I just get a rush of adrenaline, I guess, maybe, because it's just like, okay, now this is cool. Like, I'm experiencing something finally that I know I can't explain. I'm having an experience. That's all I'm really thinking about, I guess. You know, I don't really feel energy or anything like that, unless it's something really crazy that I'm not expecting, then I just feel frightened, I guess. You know, like natural human instinct to feel frightened when something unexplained happens.
Yeah.
Now, when a door opened, do you see the door open, or you hear the door open, or you're too numb to recognize the door is opening?
See, the door is in the kitchen, so it's on the other. So that I don't remember. That happened later on that night, but we saw the door. It didn't just fly open. It just slowly creaked open like that. So we actually watched it open up itself. So we were just so happened to be in the kitchen because we were shooting the, I call it kickoffs. It's where you're holding the camera and you're talking to the other person, you're filming your interaction and talking. And when we finished talking and we weren't filming, the door opened up in the bathroom, because it's in the same area as the kitchen where the basement door is too. It's right next to that.
You know, it sounds like parlor tricks. They say that the spirits, the other side, they call them parlor tricks, where they could do these incredible things. And sometimes, you think you're looking straight ahead at a wall, but somehow they do this optical illusion to us where it just happens to manifest right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And then the brain can't conceive it that quick. Yeah. You know, and that goes back to, we had Keith Linder on. Remember Keith Linder?
Yes.
And he's on numerous times. And he would say that the spray painting on the wall, whatever was painted on the wall, and then people try to debunk it, but the truth really is these things do happen. Mm-hmm. They can manifest their energy. Let's think about it. I mean, if a spirit could turn on a light, make a toy go off with no batteries, and open a door, well,
what else could it do?
I mean, let's think. Yeah. Let's be realistic and put a smiley face on a mirror. Mm-hmm. Well, then obviously, there's a lot of energy, and that energy can probably do a lot of things. Have you ever had your keys go missing?
Oh yeah.
Not my keys. I'd be pissed or I'd be upset if that happened, you know, but I don't recall anything I've ever had in this place paranormally or anything like that.
You're lucky.
But, yeah, but I'd be really upset if my keys were missing.
The keys are the worst.
I don't have another set.
We had paranormal investigators come to our home when it was haunted, because it didn't haunt it no more.
Yeah.
And where's my keys? I can't find my keys. Anybody see my cell phone? I can't find it. And you think like, okay, well, it's either they're nuts or they're missing a couple. But the truth really is, sometimes these things were in a room where no one was even in the room.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it blows my mind still. Like, how is that possible?
And your first reaction is to get mad, but you have to, like, really be calm, because that's what they want. They want to piss you off and make everybody fight.
Then that brings out the negative energy. Mm-hmm. And then the negative energy will transpire into fighting, and then apparitions of the dark energy, the shadow people. Have you ever encountered shadow people?
I've seen shadows in the corner of my eyes, but I haven't actually physically firsthand seen shadow figures or anything like that. I've seen them on my peripheral vision, but that's really about it. Talking about disappearing stuff, I do remember, though, like when we went back, going back to the Octagon Mansion, the bolt I talked about did disappear off of the banister and was thrown down the stairs. That is something that I can say that I have. It's not mine, I own, but that is something I had an experience of, it where it disappeared. I couldn't explain where it went, and it was just thrown. whatever.
So they can make things, small things. I mean, obviously my car can't disappear and reappear somewhere else.
But they could do something to your battery. I mean,
oh yeah, car batteries.
Car battery.
Yeah. Like,
we would have investigations, and then in the morning, like
the car won't start.
The car won't start. Like things like that, and it's, oh my God.
So they use all the energy. Yeah. When you're doing your filming, do you ever notice that? Like anything going dead? Like your batteries on your
we have had batteries die really quickly before. I've actually had my car door unlock itself. When I was filming at the Edinburgh Manor, I had my camera and everything in there. And we were staying in this room called the Safe House. It's a totally separate building behind Edinburgh Manor. And I locked my doors to my car because I had my camera I just bought in there. And I woke up in the morning, the car was unlocked. So I have had that experience before. It was really strange. It's not one of the ones where you could push a button. I had to manually push lock. It was like an old car I had. But yeah.
Yeah, things like that are creepy. When you know you lock the door, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you had stuff in there, you know you lock the door and then it's open. But everything was safe in the car, right?
Yeah, everything was still in the car, thank God, yeah. Everything was. I was just really upset because it was just like, what? I never had that experience before until that moment.
Do you have any locations on your bucket list that you want to go to?
Oh, yeah. We're going to plan this shoot season 4 to our show here soon before the end of this year. And there are a few places around here that I want to go to that I found out about because we just moved to Colorado. So there's this big monastery, I guess, that I heard about that is massive. I want to go to and visit. Never been to a haunted monastery before. And then a few theaters that we're talking about going to. And then we're pretty much 8 hours from a lot of places that we want to go to. We used to live in South Carolina, and we were just so far from everything, and we did all the locations around our area that we could go to. So it's really nice. There's a lot of places we do want to go to that's within 8 hours from here.
Good.
I like to see you. I like your show and what you do. I'd like to see you eventually at the Winchester House.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. God, I wish I could buy that house.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'd love to do the Winchester House. That'd be sweet. I'd probably get lost though.
Yeah.
You see the whole episode, India trying to find me.
The doors that go to nowhere.
Yeah.
I would like to get lost in a house where the kids can't find me.
Yeah. That'd be the best.
Isn't that interesting? Like, you know, the Winchesters, they had a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, you know, when she was told through the spirits, through the Ouija board and whoever she was doing it with back in the day, that she needed to keep building the home, you know, otherwise they were going to torment her. And look, she keeps building and building. So, and that's going back how many years, you know? So the truth and the legacy, I do believe being in this field that, you know, if death was caused by the Winchester gun, so many deaths, right? So then, you know, there was payback, right?
Yeah.
There was sort of that payback and, now your money's going to be spent on keep building, keep the workers going. And
I want to talk about, let's talk about your book.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So what inspired you? It's doing really good. You have great reviews, by the way. So congratulations. And what inspired you to write the book?
I've always wanted to for years, but I just never thought anybody would be interested to read it, to be honest with you. Towards the end of December or so, India kind of inspired me to finally just do it, sit down and just write my story because I had so many things. There's so much drama in the paranormal field I see all the time. I've always stayed out of it, but I've always had my input and what I felt about the paranormal, like my experiences I've had throughout all these years and the things I've witnessed. And I wanted to instead make a crazy rant on Facebook. I wanted to make an actual book and talk about my experiences and what I've witnessed and what I feel about the paranormal and what I think it is when we do pass on.
I love that. That's a good idea.
And I thought it'd be cool to hear. My family's had some experiences too in houses when they were young. And I didn't know all of them. I knew that some of them that they told me about. So I had so much fun putting that also in the book and talking about those experiences because I learned with people reading it as well. So
that's good that you're doing that. Do you get requests from people that say, hey, we need help?
not people that ask for help. Some people just say, hey, can you film in my location or something like that. Some people have asked us to film at their haunted place, or they've asked me about advice about paranormal stuff that they've experienced, or just some things that they've had going on, and just some advice, really.
You know, also, I always talk about this on the shows, the pyramids. Mm-hmm. Like, if you could have a film or do a paranormal investigation in the pyramids in Egypt, I mean, that would be, like, mind-blowing.
That
what
would
even transpire, right?
Yeah, that would be really sweet. What I'd love to do, I think would be really unique, is to, if I were to do something like that in Egypt, is to learn that language that they would have spoken before they passed, and then communicate like that in a tomb like that, because they've been more familiarized. But we would look so advanced to them anyways. It'd be kind of unique to see what kind of stuff, if you could capture something in a pyramid, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, think about the energy that's created there.
That's, mm-hmm. Right. I would love to see that. Definitely.
I mean, things untouched for thousands of years, too.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so we're talking about paranormal and ghosts and recording. What's your thoughts on UFOs, aliens?
I think there's UFOs, honestly. I am intrigued by it. I used to live in Las Vegas, and I've seen some weird stuff, but I've never had a ground experience. I've seen stuff in the sky that only a few times in my life that I couldn't explain, but I do think that there is something beyond Earth. I just think that there's more that people that are higher up in the government know about that they're not telling people, but I think a lot of people couldn't handle it if they just came out and said that there's aliens. You know what I mean?
I agree.
It'd be too many conflicts with religion and other things like that, and beliefs.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Have you ever thought about trying to do one episode on that, like where people say, like Skinwalker Ranch?
I have, actually, and I just recently started getting into learning more about Skinwalker Ranch and more stuff like that. I have thought about doing UFO stuff, but I just haven't been able to really think about how I can make it different than other shows that are just strictly UFOs where they look in the sky. I'd rather have an experience on the ground, you know, firsthand. I think those would be more intriguing than to see a UFO. Like, anybody can see something in the sky and really think it's a UFO and never know their entire life that it wasn't. I'd rather have and actually see it on the ground. I mean, there's no videos of people talking about them seeing a ghost, an alien on the ground and filming it. I think that'd be intriguing to see something like that. There's a rumor in Vegas out in the desert, not far from the Nellis Air Force Base, that there are actually the Grays that hang out there. And I don't know who told me this, but apparently they like strawberry ice cream from a specific brand. And you can always see those trucks drive out to the desert towards that direction in between these two mountain passways. But it's not far from the base. And supposedly some people that have worked at the base handle and deal with the Grays. It's a big rumor, especially Lake Mead. That's also part of Las Vegas.
No, he's not be going to the store. He's going to go to the store now, buy strawberry ice cream. And I'm going to come out in the morning, and there's going to be strawberry ice cream everywhere outside.
I think it's Breyers is the brand, is what I hear. And I think this is
just... They have a brand.
Yeah, they have a brand. It's obnoxious to hear something like that.
I mean, if I go out there with an ice cream truck and make this investment, do the aliens actually pay for the ice cream? I mean, in our currency?
I have no idea. Maybe they'll give you some space diamonds or something. I don't know.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't plan on doing this for free. Aliens are not. You got to pay for it.
Maybe you can trade and have them take you up in the ship or something, or see the ship.
Yeah, a one-way ticket.
Well, he loves it. He loves, you know, he's very into all the research about aliens. So.
Yeah. In fact, we had a guest on last week who says he can communicate with them. Yeah.
Interesting.
And he does a show where he communicates with aliens. And I don't know. You know, I tell you that I like what you're doing. I love the concept, you know, the locations. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, like you get in touch with a person like that says, whether we believe it or not, I can't communicate with aliens, right? Mm-hmm. And somehow you're doing your recording, but you know, your video recording as they're saying things and see what comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like there's been places and locations where they bring old records and they ask the spirit, okay, we're going to go on the first floor, and on the second floor, can you put this song on? This is the song you used to like. And sometimes the music is playing, but yeah. Actually the record wasn't turning.
Oh.
They would dress up like the old days.
Boy.
Like from the 17, 1800s.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they do that in Gettysburg, too. Actually, the Hinsdale House, I think they did that, where they dressed up.
Oh, I think they did, yeah.
And it inspires the spirit, if it is that spirit.
It would make sense, because, you know, they
going back to their time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look like, you know, hey.
Yeah.
And I'm all about questioning the stuff in the paranormal, to be honest with you, too. You know, like, we all have our own beliefs in the paranormal, which makes it the paranormal field. We all have unified different beliefs. And I like to question all the beliefs. You know what I mean? That's how I think in the paranormal, too, is when you go into a location, you got to have an open mind. You got to have a healthy open mind. And you got to know that just because you had an experience last time doesn't mean it's going to be the same one this time, which is never going to be. But it's just healthy skepticism is what helps you push forward, I think, and not stray from following everyone's same belief of what the paranormal is. Like, if it's someone who passed away in a house, and this house was from 1800s, and this house gets torn down, and there was haunted, where do those ghosts go? You know what I mean, are they stuck in a home? Are they able to go anywhere? Are they staying in the room and watching you the entire time until they feel like they want to communicate? You know, I mean, there's so many things I question, and I always ask myself these questions because I think it's something interesting that we all should have an open mind and think outside of the box from the typical beliefs that we have in the paranormal.
I agree. We're all learning.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's interesting that you said that. And I'm going to tell you, some of the people that have been in the field a long time doing investigations, I asked that question. A house gets torn down. Someone was murdered in the house, and previous people have gotten, you know, things and all that stuff, apparitions and recordings, but now it's a townhouse, a new condominium, something like that. What's interesting is this. Sometimes it still remains haunted, and they hear the people going up and down the stairs that don't exist. Because
don't exist.
The stairs were there with the previous home, which leads me to believe and others to believe that it still does exist. You just can't see it, but it's still there. So when we, you know, like residual energy, when the spirit crosses over and there's residual and you're capturing EVPs from what was like a recording, it's a pretty strong belief that it's still there.
Yeah.
The energy of that home is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had that encounter where you might be in a newer location and you do hear things that it shouldn't even... There's
like
no
someone
stair-
going up the stairs, but maybe like the house is just one floor. Like
there's
no stairs.
Yeah, I went back to the Ferraro Elementary Schoolhouse in 2017 or 18, and we used baby powder in the over in front of the doorway of the auditorium and actually captured a child's footprint that wasn't there when we put the baby powder down in the baby powder. And we also set up bells that were on both sides getting up onto the top third floor, and we actually heard them jingle when we were down the stairs. So we have heard footsteps. Indy and I were filming at the Randolph County Infirmary, and we were in the basement. It was dark, and we heard footsteps running behind us, which made me turn around the camera because I thought somebody, once again, was there that wasn't supposed to be. So we've had those experiences before where we've had heard footsteps. Indy has actually smelled phantom cigarette smoke at the Randolph County Infirmary. You're not allowed to smoke inside the building. And it was just her and I there. And when we were packing up and leaving the entrance down into the basement, she could actually smell cigarette smoke coming up in the air. There was no smoke.
There was no smoke.
None of us smoke either. So it was crazy to have that experience. But yeah, we have those experiences. Yeah.
So there's multiple dimensions. We're in one dimension, then you cross over on the outside of a balloon, for example, there's your other dimension, and there's different layers, and it just seems like they still exist. They are still there.
Yeah.
You know, I asked the question, especially like the Hinsdale House and other haunted houses around the world, when we have guests on, I'm like, well, who do you think you're talking to? Mm-hmm. The person that lived there back in the 1700s, 1800s, or something else. And they do feel like it's part of the person that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds strange, part of the person, but it's part of their energy.
Yeah.
That is still existing within that time.
Yeah.
And still doing what they're doing.
It makes sense. I mean, you look at a body, you know that person's dead, you know. When you're alive, you can see the energy in somebody because they're just there. So like when it does leave a body, how does it transfer? You know what I mean? A piece of it could be left behind from like something that had happened. That is a possibility in the paranormal field. It's really fascinating because you try to understand it and you can't, which makes it even more fascinating. You know what I mean? You try to understand how the process could work.
We've talked to spirits, and again, I like to debunk, you know, because look, if you're going to go for evidence, you want the truth, because you have to sleep at night and know that I got the truth. You know, this is real stuff here happening. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes we may think it's true, and then someone else years later comes out and says, wait a second, there is a scientific explanation behind this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. I'm all for that. But I do know from experiences that these things are real.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they are real. I mean, a million people could tell me it's true, and I don't have to believe it until I experience it myself.
Yeah,
that's just how people are going to work too. People in this society, in this day and age, don't believe things unless they actually experience it. Because now anybody can fake a ghost on video.
Yeah,
like a 12-year-old can make a CGI look real. You know what I mean? Like, it's just we have so much technology in our hands, it makes it hard for people that. Know about what people can do to believe it, and that's why it's always best to just not worry about proving it to people, because the people that are meant to understand it can actually experience it and will experience it. And people that watch the shows for entertainment, just watching for entertainment, they don't actually believe in it, they will never actually go to those places and do it. You got nothing to lose when you sleep at night, you know, knowing that I experienced something I know I for sure cannot explain, and no one's going to believe it, and that's okay.
That's
just what you
got to
tell yourself.
Yeah, it's not their time, right? That's what we always
say. What I always say is that, you know, I used to get into arguments years ago. Oh, it's true. No, it's not true. Oh, you know. And I says to myself, you know, after really being in the field and understanding this,
mm-hmm.
they're not meant to understand or believe it in this life journey that we're on right now.
Yeah.
Maybe in another journey, it's their time and their calling.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just say, okay, you know what? That's fair enough. If you don't believe it, I understand. Don't criticize people that do investigate and believe it, mm-hmm. because they really are having experiences, and maybe it's not your time. It's not my time to be an astronaut or a doctor.
Yeah.
And it's not your time to encounter supernatural activity from the other side. And that's okay.
And I think it also depends on how someone's raised. I think as well has a huge factor into how you experience the paranormal, because some people that grow up having everything, there's no sensitivity to them. You know what I mean? They just are so used to being given things. And this could be totally unrelevant to some people, but I think people that are sensitive are because people that have had traumatic experiences in their life that have made them more susceptible to experiencing something that's paranormal, because they're more aware of the world around them instead of seeing everything given to them. They're experiencing things from the outside perspective. So they can actually experience more paranormal experiences than those that are closed-minded, because people have everything are closed-minded. They have nothing that they're looking for getting or striving for, because they have never had a tragic thing happen to them to make them sensitive to something like that.
That's true.
If that makes sense.
That you nailed that right on the head. That's definitely
extremely
true.
Hey, have you ever had deja vu?
I actually have been telling India for the past few days I've been having deja vu. Like, even at work, I just started a new job, and I'm feeling like I experienced this before. And I was taking a shower the other day, and I was like experiencing and feeling like I just already saw this. I've already been here before. I've had deja vu. It kind of gets annoying because I've had it quite a bit lately at this new place, but I've had it. Yes.
Well, just talk about that for a second. So what exactly are you feeling? Because I get it. What are you feeling?
I feel like I've seen this, I've been in the same the situation before, and I'm trying to figure out why. Like they say too, that deja vu is something that is something that you've had an experience on that is making you think you've experienced it before, in a way is tricking myself. And I mean, I've never been here before, and I'm feeling like I've been in the situation, like I'm taking a shower and I'm in this moment. I wake up and I'm like experiencing this moment again. And then I go to work and I'm having the same experience. Like, I know I just had this experience. Why do I feel like I'm having this again? You know, I'm like, am I in the past, but I felt like I saw the future. You know what I mean? Like, I can't explain that. I've had that experience, just really odd, because it feels like you've been in the situation before.
That's happened to me quite a few times in my life. And I'm like, I'm at a standstill. Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here, and that just, and there's a smell, like a scent coming, and it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And it's a feeling of, wait a second, I just can't put my finger on it, but
yeah,
I've been here and I've done this already.
Yeah.
And then it makes you think.
And it's like, yeah, in fact, it's funny he said the shower, because it happened to me last week in the shower.
Yeah, it's weird.
And maybe it's the water energy or whatever it is that helps these things, yeah. You know, but yeah. It did happen to me again, and it happens for like a minute, and where I get stuck into this, I've done this, not the shower already, I've been in this fragment of time,
yeah,
already, but on a different level.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, like on a different level of energy, whether yeah. It's a higher vibration. I feel like I've done this already.
Yeah, it makes me feel paranoid, because it's like, why do I feel this way? You know, I mean, I've had it so many times since I've been here. I've only been at this new place 2 weeks, over 2 weeks, and I've already had it like 3 or 4 times already happen to me, and it's just kind of like strange, because obviously it could never have happened before, because I'm in the present moment, but it feels like it has happened before. Like, what if my life is repeating itself again, and this is just an alternative reality I've woken up to?
You know? Like we're living in the Matrix.
Yeah, simulation, red pill or blue pill.
Oh, man. Hey, sleep paralysis. Have you ever experienced that?
Thank God, no. I've never had that. India, I think, has had that experience before, where she's seen stuff floating above her in the bed when we were sleeping a couple times a night, but I've never had that. I think I'd panic. I think I'd induce myself an anxiety attack and just have a heart attack experiencing it.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy stuff. So with your shows and all that, and now you got your book out,
yeah,
doing it in India. So what do you want the future to be like? You got a great show, you got a good book.
Thank
but
you.
What do you want the future to be like? Are you trying to say, hey, if there's more to come, because this is real and true, and I you know, where do you want to go? Do you want it to be like a motion picture of, this is all my work?
You know, that's a good question. I never really thought about that. I just do it. You know what I mean? I just don't think about, hey, do I want to be, you know, like a, and I'm never had this intention right now to say, hey, I want to be a famous person in the paranormal field or anything like that. It's just pick up a camera, I go experience stuff, and that's it. I've always had that thing where I have to film everything, because I saw a little girl years ago. And ever since then, no matter what haunted place I go to, I have a camera with me, because I want to document everything and show people this is what it is I'm experiencing. Because there's so many shows that only show evidence, and that's what everyone is so used to. So that's why when they see shows that don't have it, they think it's boring or there's garbage. But that's the reality of paranormal investigating. We've gone to places, experienced nothing, couldn't make them into episodes. And that's why we don't have episodes all the time, because we don't say this little noise in this recorder is paranormal, because it has to be clear for me to say it's paranormal. I'm not going to say it sounds like a scruffle from my jacket and say it's paranormal. Like, I will never mislead the audience. I'm always going to show them what we experience, what we think it is. And that's why we don't ever always tag all this stuff on our portal sessions from the responses that come through, is because I don't want to tell people what is coming through. I know what I heard when I was in the moment, but somebody else may interpret something different or hear something different,
yeah.
Or I could be totally wrong. So it's just, our show is always going to be about honesty. And that's what I want it to be moving forward to, is even if Indy and I ever stop doing the show and somebody else picks it up, you know, like the lantern, so to speak, the show is going to be the self that is going to have the name to itself, not myself, not India, not anybody else who would be in the show. It's about the integrity and showing people what is that we experience as paranormal investigators and paranormal enthusiasts in places and things that we can't explain. Even if there's places where we get nothing, it's just the history is fascinating. The location is beautiful. Like, not everybody in the world can get to go to some locations. And if I get that experience, I want to show people that can't, so they can watch and feel like they're along with it. So they feel like those people that can't do paranormal investigations are too scared to, or have different beliefs about it, can watch and feel like they're actually in there experiencing it with me in India.
I like that.
You're doing a great job.
Well, that's the show we watched. We like that show with the trailer, the kids in the trailer there. He was on a show. The kids, they travel and they go on the trailer.
Oh, he's talking about Destination Fear, Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They go on the trailer. Yeah. It's kind of like, I like it because it's kind of like going on an adventure and you don't know what the counter.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of like your show, too, in a way where, you know, you don't know. You're behind the counter, but you really don't know what you're going to encounter.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know the voice that's going to come on or the apparition or what's going to be in front of you. And
I mean, sure, I'd love to capture a ghost on camera, but I know that's never going to happen. Yeah, I mean, everything that happens in the paranormal is going to happen because it knows it's going to happen, you know?
Sure.
Forever happens.
They're on their own time. They're not on our time. Like you said, you're not going to always capture every single little thing.
I have yet to see, like, the true, like, I've seen a lot of pictures of shadows, but to see the true manifestation of a spirit. Now, there is one, I don't know if it's real or not, because like he said, there's so much fake stuff out there. The Amityville Horror case, when the little kid's on the staircase.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been floating around for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as a film person, do you think that's authentic?
To be honest with you, I don't know, because I don't have enough information. I know about the Amityville Horror and everything. I watched documentaries, watched about Edward Rain Warren's experiences there. And I can't say that it's fake or it's real, because I saw a ghost. Now, if I tell somebody I saw a ghost, they'll think, okay, just like everybody else who tells you the same experiences, they're so common. Those photos, they could be staged, but you got to look at the background. Is this guy knowledgeable? Did he know someone that was knowledgeable enough to make this kind of photo up? If this is an authentic photo, it's like one of the most definitive photos I've seen, because it's creepy and I would never go in that place for sure.
Have you seen the photo that I'm talking about?
You're talking about the kid with the glowing eyes?
Yes. Yeah. On the banister.
Yep. That's what I'm talking about. Yep.
I think that's going back to the 80s, that picture, right?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have Photoshop and technology like we do now. They didn't have no cell phone. You know what I mean? So like, he'd have to be knowledgeable in faking things. You know, like, did he have Halloween props? Is that a Halloween prop? And he had a glowing light in there. I mean, you know, what is his camera settings? What camera did he use? Did he try to take another snap right after that same exact photo? Or did he try to replicate it? Is it something that is in the room that's making it look like that? There's so many things that could have happened that I don't know the information to. So I can't make a speculation in saying that it's fake or real or not. But if it is real, that is one of the craziest photos I have seen.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that photo just sticks in your mind. And it's like, is that real? You know, but that's some capture. Okay, so we're at the end of the show. Where can people find you, all that good stuff? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, people can watch our show. We have 16, 17 episodes of our show on YouTube, youtube.com/paranormalencounters. They can watch all that, live streams, extra videos they want to that we put on there. You can also watch our show on Amazon Prime. We have our 3 seasons up there right now. And if you guys are interested in checking out the book, Paranormal Encounters.
Can you hold it up to the camera a little bit closer?
Great.
This, if I can figure out what my finger is, this little girl right here has a huge reason to why I believe in the paranormal. So that's on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Walmart.
It's
on quite a few places. You can pick up the book. There's also an audio version and a Kindle version. The audio version is read by Josh Hurd, who currently runs the Malvern Manor that we last filmed at. So he did an excellent job, and it was really creepy to hear him read my book.
I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
Well, thank you so much for coming on Horsefly Chronicles Radio. This has been a fascinating show once again.
Thank you.
A lot of knowledge, information, and a lot of takeaways to the listener out there. You know, this is a show where, you know, we pretty much get a little bit of depth on certain things.
I think we've covered a lot.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on. Julie, wrap it up.
All right, guys. Well, special thank you to Carnation for sponsoring the show. We love them. And join us next Monday night on United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM from New Orleans.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, our guests.
Thank you, Connor.
And India and everyone, have a great, safe night. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.